someday when I'm awfully low.
Right.
When the world is
Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline Studio, 18 stories above beautiful downtown Chicago. It is Monday morning, and that means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke a little bit later on. We're going to talk about some of the worst band names of all time and some of the weirdest jobs that actually exist and more. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. We would love to hear from you. That's the Team Hochberg phone line, 312-981-7200. Very excited to welcome my my guest to the show here. He's a former executive producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno and has written a book called Behind the Curtain, and it offers a never-before-seen inside look at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, how it came together from the monologue to the guest bookings. Lots of great highlights in this book and some behind-the-scenes things that we did not know about. The author is named Dave Berg. Let's say hello to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hi, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, it's my pleasure. For regular listeners of this show, they know that I'm kind of obsessed with late night TV. And I have been for a very, very long time. And I've been watching The Tonight Show forever. I've been watching all of the late night shows. I just love them.
So you know, I'm kind of in awe of WGN. I grew up in Chicago.
Oh.
Which was the great station that carried the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, for many years, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, and now we carry the Sox.
That's right.
Yeah. So, I'm glad that you're from the hometown. When did you leave Chicago?
Oh gosh, do I have to tell you? Probably 30 years ago.
I see. All right. So how does one get into late night television? From your perspective?
Probably nobody did it the way I did it.
Okay.
So I don't know how to answer that. I basically wanted to be Paul Harvey.
Oh, okay.
Maybe some of your listeners remember Paul, and you
absolutely
do.
Of course.
That's what I wanted to be, right? And I even had the chance to, as a kid, as a teenager, my dad knew somebody. I got to sit in on his radio broadcast.
Wow.
And I was so intimidated. When he asked me questions, I couldn't answer him. That's how in awe I was. But the bottom line was I couldn't get a job in Chicago to save my soul.
Mm.
I couldn't get a job at the Tribune, at any of the stations, because everyone said, you know, you're not ready for it. That was what I wanted to be. So what I did is I worked in television news, and I worked at every market you can imagine throughout the Midwest, and then ended up on the West Coast and at NBC News. And then I ended up at the Tonight Show thanks to my wife.
Thanks to your wife. What did she do?
Well, when NBC News fired me, and that happens to a few people, probably not you, but to some people, they get fired in our business.
Yeah.
And she said, well, you know, why don't you... there's this new show, The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. It's going to be starting up in 3 months. Why don't you go down and talk to Jay? Right? And I said, yeah, sure, honey. Yeah, I'll do that. Right? And that's what we always tell our wives. And of course, she wouldn't let go. I mean, every hour she would call me because I was still working there.
Yeah.
And finally, I just to sort of appease her, I went down and actually did go down to the Tonight Show office, and they were looking for someone that had a news background.
Okay.
So it was like the easiest job I ever got, the hardest job I ever did.
Wow, that's amazing. Yeah. You got to thank your wife.
There's more to the story. I didn't want to belabor it, but it's a pretty incredible story.
Yeah, yeah. So it led to how long were you with The Tonight Show?
The 20 years.
Wow, that's a run right there.
Yes.
Oh, wow. Did you started right when Jay took over?
Yes, and I felt like a square peg in a round hole because again, I had been a news reporter. And well, I'd done everything in television news and radio news, but I didn't know the first thing about entertainment. So I didn't have. If you looked at my Rolodex, there were no names in in the entertainment category. I could tell you anything about the political world, but I had no background in that area. So I felt like, okay, I'm kind of faking it here.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But and so what I did is I kept pitching guests in areas that they were not used to. And Johnny Carson maybe had 10 political guests in 30 years.
Right.
You know, I kept pitching those types of guests because that's who I had in my Rolodex.
Yeah.
Right. And but it was unknown at that time. You go back to 1992. And then when finally I was able to book Bob Dole.
Oh,
right?
Okay.
Presidential candidate Bob Dole. Right.
Yeah.
And people watched.
Hmm.
Right? And so every time I would pitch these guests, because they had not been on late night.
Right.
They kept resonating, and so it just kept working. And then I thought, well, okay, so we should be doing more like Super Bowl quarterbacks and star baseball players and star basketball players and all these people that had not usually been on late night.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was my little angle, because I didn't know any. That's all I had in my Rolodex.
Yeah. Wow, that's interesting. But it changed the bookings, though, right?
It kind of changed the landscape.
Yeah.
Because those guests resonated.
Yeah. Wow, that's great. And this is Dave Berg, former executive producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. His book is called Behind the Curtain. Dave, hold on, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Dave Berg is with us, Chicagoan. Fan of this radio station. Very cool. We got a lot of highlights from this book to talk about, and some of the other appearances and things that happened on the Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And the book is called Behind the Curtain. More with Dave Berg coming up right here on 720 WGN. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here till 4 o'clock. At 4 o'clock, we head over to the TV side over at Bradley Place of WGN. And here's some great news and information from that group. And then Bob Surratt has your morning drive at 5. It is Monday. That means my dad's going to call in a little later and tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. Right now, my guest is Dave Berg. He's an author and former executive producer of The Tonight Show. His book, Behind the Curtain, offers a whole never-before-seen inside look at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, where Dave spent 20 years, and we welcome Dave back. Hello, Dave.
Hello.
All right, let's talk a little bit about, now you mentioned sports.
Yeah.
Some of the guests that you've had in the sports world. You know who was Terry Bradshaw? Who was incredibly entertaining. Now, he, I understand, made the most guest appearances?
You're absolutely right. Yeah, Terry was on 60 times.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
Wow, that's a lot.
It was. And the really funny thing is about that is that in the early days, Jay was very hesitant to have sports guests on because he wasn't knowledgeable about sports.
Yeah.
He only knew, there was only one sport he knew a lot about, which was boxing.
Oh, okay.
He was fascinated with boxing because his father had been a boxer.
Oh.
And he was fascinated with the idea that there was only one number one.
I see.
Right? You were either number one or you were a loser in boxing.
Right. And Jay had the correct chin for boxing.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Leading with my chin is exactly how he put it. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, but other than that, he didn't know anything, so he was a little nervous because he thought that, you know, he wasn't knowledgeable, he couldn't talk about sports, and it took me a while to kind of convince him that, you know what, you're actually on the same page as professional athletes. They believe the same as you do, which is you work hard, you keep you get knocked to the floor and you get up and you keep fighting until you win.
Yeah.
And I said, they have the same work ethic as you. You don't really have to know that much about sports. And whatever you don't know, I'll fill you in.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also, it also helps that Terry Bradshaw is unbelievably entertaining. You know what I mean? Like he's not just strictly sports. You don't have to talk about football only with Terry Bradshaw because he's just so funny.
Bingo.
Yeah.
You hit it on the head.
Yeah.
Right. They became very good friends and they became competitive. Right. They would try to outdo each other every time Terry would come on. And they would try to one-up each other. And so it became a sort of friendly competition. And the other thing is, Terry was kind of crazy.
Yeah,
he was seeing a counselor. But he was able to capitalize on that, and he worked for an athlete. He had a very comedic sense, as you've just pointed out.
Yeah,
he worked on his material, and he was really one of the funniest guests.
Yeah.
And again, they tried to outdo each other. And one night, Terry was on, and his fly was down. Right? And I thought, how is Jay going to handle this? You know, is he going to do the right thing and, you know, tell him during the commercial break? Or is he going to do what they normally do, which is to sort of, go after him? So sure enough, before the commercial break, he said, "Hey, Terry, I just want to give you some advice. You know, when we come back in the next segment, your fly is down." That was the kind of way things went, and it worked really well.
Yeah. Wow.
And I never saw that coming. Never saw that coming.
Yeah, that's hilarious. That is really funny. How did Terry respond to that?
He took it in good fun.
Yeah.
But he got back at Jay in his own way.
Oh, he did?
Right, yeah. Oh, yeah. They were always getting back at each other.
Well, he's a very entertaining guy and a really, as you know, I mean, if he appeared on the show 60 times, he's a great guest. You know?
Yes.
So, no question about it. The other world of sports, another guy who's hilarious is Charles Barkley. Tell me about the experience of having Charles Barkley on.
Well, I have to tell you, I've always said this about Charles. I've actually been watching him during the playoffs.
Yeah.
My feeling about Barkley is he has a natural sense of humor, and I always felt that he was as funny as the funniest comedian who ever came on.
Yeah.
He made numerous appearances, and honestly, I don't think he did any preparation. He just had a natural sense of humor, and he was very good at self-deprecation.
Yeah.
He had a way of sort of making fun of himself, and he had a little rivalry going on with Tiger Woods with his golf game.
Mm-hmm.
He had a terrific way of sort of making fun of his golf game, and he was always trying to lose weight.
Yeah.
And I put him right up there I would compare him to any comedian.
Yeah, he's hilarious. I've always thought that Charles Barkley was very, very, very funny. And, you know, I mean, he also hosted Saturday Night Live a couple of times and was great. You know,
exactly.
Did a really great job.
Exactly. But he's just great to watch, during the, basketball playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah, he's so entertaining.
Yes.
Dave Berg is with us. He's the author of the book Behind the Curtain, was executive producer for 20 years at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Who were some of Jay's favorite guests?
He liked his absolute favorite was John F. Kennedy Jr.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
And John Glenn.
And John Glenn, yeah.
Yes.
Well, what was it about those guys specifically? What was it about JFK Jr. that he...
I think it's because it took us so long to book John F. Kennedy Jr. It took me 6 years to get him on.
Wow.
because he didn't think he was good enough. He didn't think I mean, this guy represented American royalty more than anyone else at that time.
Yeah.
But he didn't think there was anything that he would say that anyone would have any interest in.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
It was so unbelievable.
Wow.
But I just kept, you know, calling his publicist, and who, he had a magazine called George, a political magazine.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
You always try to get somebody, however you can get somebody. I'm sure you know how this works,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
However, you will promote George Magazine. Okay, that's not working. Wait, you have a new book coming out. We'll promote the book,
right?
Nothing's working for me. I'm trying to get him. Finally, the publicist doesn't answer the phone, but his assistant does. And she says, I'm a big fan of Jay Leno.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
So I go, oh, this is good. I can work with you, right? I can work with you. You're a big fan of Jay Leno. We're a big fan of John Kennedy. So John Kennedy Jr. So I would call her every week, and we would exchange gossip. She would tell me about the political world, and I would tell her about Hollywood. And finally, she said, "I talked John into doing the show."
And then it turned out to be great the first time.
Honestly, I consider the appearance that he did the greatest appearance of all the years that Jay was on the air, and he didn't really want to do it, because the one night that he was available, he gave us one date that he was available,
yeah,
and that was the night Jerry Seinfeld was supposed to be on the last night of the Seinfeld show.
Oh man!
And so I told him, I said, the good news is, John, you know, the date is open. The bad news is the first guest slot is filled, and it's filled by Jerry Seinfeld. It's his last show, and I'm thinking he's gonna say, oh, I'm not gonna go second to Seinfeld, right?
Yeah.
But he doesn't say that. He says, Seinfeld's on? No way am I gonna do that show. Who's gonna want to watch me?
Yeah.
And he said, I can't do it. And I said, no, we can work something out. Please, we can work something out. He would only do it if he could talk only about Seinfeld, because he had been the subject of a Seinfeld episode.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
So he said, it has to all be all about Seinfeld, because nobody's going to care about me.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah,
that's funny.
Turned out to be an awesome episode, because who do you think was the biggest fan of John F. Kennedy Jr.?
Yeah.
Jerry Seinfeld.
Jerry Seinfeld, sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So you like to have chemistry, right? Well, the chemistry couldn't have been better that night.
Oh, that was great. All right, listen, hang on, Dave.
Yeah.
All right, Dave Berg is with us, author, former executive producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno, and the book is called Behind the Curtain. More highlights from the time that that Dave spent with Jay Leno on The Tonight Show right here on 720 WEGN. Hello, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. And we are live in the Skyline studio. And we're here until 4 o'clock. It's a Monday morning. And that means my dad's going to call in and tell a joke, because it's a jokey time. 312-981-7200. That's our number if you would like to join us. Dave Berg is my guest right now, author, former executive producer of The Tonight Show. His book is called Behind the Curtain, and he spent 20 years working with Jay Leno and the people at The Tonight Show, booking guests and doing much more. And let's say hello to Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello. Can I hear one of your dad's jokes?
Well, he's going to tell it later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's going to tell it later on. We usually have him on like right before the end of the show on every Monday morning. So my dad's been my dad's been telling jokes for his whole life. So
I love it.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. There are some appearances that I definitely want to mention. God, the night of the Cheers finale. Oh,
You think it's funny?
Yeah. Well, I mean, they had been drinking pretty much during the, because if I remember correctly, that was the night of the series finale, and if I remember correctly, it was a 2-hour episode, and you guys were live in Boston at the Real Cheers.
The bar, yeah, that was the setting, classic setting, yeah.
And the cast had been drinking throughout the entire 2-hour episode, and so by the time it was time for them to go on, they were pretty much three sheets to the wind.
Yes, this is almost painful to talk about, but there's an odd twist to this story, how it turned out.
Okay.
So NBC decided it would be great to go live. From this was the night of the very last episode of Cheers.
Yep.
We went from the classic what was the name of that bar, the saloon, I can't remember it, but anyway, it was the saloon on which the show was based.
Right.
And I had really strong misgivings about it, and had advised against it.
Yeah.
So much so that I said I really didn't want to go, because I had had experience from my days. I worked in television news throughout the Midwest.
Yeah.
And we used to do live shots. And, of course, you would do live shots after a bit, like the Super Bowl or something.
Yeah.
And you would do a live shot from a bar, and it always ended badly.
Yeah, yeah, yep, absolutely.
There's nothing funny about people that are drunk in a bar. Except they think it's funny, but nobody else does.
Right.
Right? And I said, you know, I don't think we should do this. I don't think we should do this. And honestly, I can't be a part of this. So I wasn't, but they did go ahead with it. And I'm not, you know, I don't want to besmirch all the actors on Cheers, but they had been sitting around all day at this bar, and what do?
Yep.
When you're sitting around at a bar all day, you just drink.
Yep.
Right? And they're Jay does his monologue, and he does interviews with them, and they're not focusing, they're shooting spitballs.
Right.
Right? Just like they were doing on their own show. It wasn't disrespectful toward Jay, but they were just plain old drunk.
Yeah. I remember watching it. I was like, I can't believe this is happening. Because I'm obviously, like most people, I'm a huge Cheers fan, and I was very excited.
Me too.
And I was very excited for the finale, and I thought the finale was great, and then I was really looking forward to the interview, but wow. it went south pretty quick.
It went south, but here's the bizarre thing. What we did, was that the stupidest thing we ever did, or the smartest thing we ever did? Because it turned out that that show brought in I'm trying to remember, it was in excess of 20 million viewers.
Wow.
I think.
Wow.
I can't remember the exact number, but it was the highest rated show we did in the entire life of the show.
Wow.
So was that a brilliant move or a dumb move? I don't know.
Yeah.
To this day, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was a train wreck.
It truly was. It truly was. I think Jay did the best he could.
Yeah, you couldn't blame Jay.
No,
I mean, the show was, he just didn't have control of it, and
yep,
there's no way he could get control.
Yep, there's no question about it. But it was weird to watch. It really was strange.
Yeah, and not only were the actors drunk, but everybody else was, the audience.
Right, the audience.
They were just sitting around all day.
Right.
Drinking.
You can't do that. That's not good.
No.
That is not good. Well, it was memorable, I'll say that.
Yes.
Okay, now here's another appearance that we have to talk about. Now, Robin Williams, you know, considered by many to be one of the greatest late night guests that you could have possibly had. And he was on all the time. Didn't need a script, didn't need anything. And people loved him. Now, I didn't know this. He broke his arm on an appearance on the show?
Yeah, it wasn't even on the show.
Oh, it wasn't?
No, but he did break his arm.
How did that? What happened there?
Well, what happened is, after the show, every night when the show finished, Jay and the guests would come together and they would do a promo, which would air during prime time in NBC's programming to promote the upcoming show.
Got it.
Right? And they always did the promo in the area where the guest band played, so there was equipment all over the place. Monitors, wires. It was, you know, it was a dangerous place to be if you weren't watching where you were stepping.
Right.
And so what happened is they went down to do the promo, including Robin, and he tripped over a monitor.
Oh.
And he fell, and he broke his shoulder.
Hmm.
I mean, literally broke his shoulder.
Oh, man.
But he stayed in character. So he gets up, and he goes, he's like exaggerating that he's in pain. He's exaggerating. He's making it comedic. He's going, oh,
yeah.
This is so painful. But he's doing it in a comedic way. The audience is laughing. They think it's hysterical.
Yeah.
But he has broken his shoulder. We had an ambulance and immediately took him to St. Joseph's Hospital right next door to us. Right afterward.
Yeah.
And he ended up having a broken shoulder.
Wow. And he cut the promo with a broken shoulder?
Yes.
Oh,
and he stayed true to, he stayed in comedic form.
Wow.
Right? Nobody knew that he was in real pain.
Wow. That's something. That's really something. How many times was Robin on the show? He was a frequent guest, correct?
He was an absolute frequent guest. I don't have a number, but yeah. I'd have to say it's more than 20, maybe 30 times.
Yeah. Wow. Now was he ever on when Jay was host? Was he ever on with Jonathan Winters? Were they on together?
No.
Okay.
But of course, Jonathan Winters was his inspiration.
Oh, yeah.
I think that happened during the Johnny Carson years.
Yeah, okay. Was Jonathan Winters ever on with Jay?
Yes, we did have Jonathan, and God bless Jonathan, but he was sort of losing it at that time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you just didn't know what he was going to say.
Yeah, that's true.
He was comedic till the end, but you just didn't know what was going to come out of that mouth.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It did get a little nutty towards the end there.
Very, very, very nutty.
Yeah.
But he was a comedic genius, of course.
No question about it. Always had memorable appearances whenever he was on the late night shows.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Dave, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
Dave is with us. Dave Berg, who was executive producer of The Tonight Show for 20 years and is the author of the book Behind the Curtain. We got more highlights from the book and more stories about working on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. This is great stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number, and we'll talk more with Dave right after this on WGN.
Somewhere beyond the sea, somewhere waiting for me, my lover stands on golden sand.
All right. Hello, Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Live in the Skyline studio here until 4 o'clock, as we are every weekday morning, night into the morning, 11 p.m. to 4 a.m. At 4 o'clock, we head over to Bradley Place for the TV side of WGN, get some news and early morning news and information from them. And then the great Bob Surratt at 5 has your morning drive. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, my guest is Dave Berg. He's an author and a former executive producer of The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. You can follow him on Twitter at Tonight Show Dave. His book is called Behind the Curtain, and it's got like a never-before-seen inside look at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And we've got more highlights to talk about here. Spending 20 years with The Tonight Show is Dave. Hello, Dave.
Hello, and if I may say, he is the great Bob Surratt.
Oh, he is great, isn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, it's great to have him as our morning drive guy.
Yeah.
Very exciting, very exciting. All right, so let's talk a little bit more about some of the other things that had happened on the show. And then I want to get into, let's talk a little bit about the late night wars. You started with Jay Leno in 1992, and that was right around the time the late night wars began, with Letterman going to CBS and...
Yeah,
all the other stuff happening. Tell me what it was like to be like on the front lines during the late night wars.
Well, I think you just described it. It was like being on the front lines.
Yeah.
And from the moment that we started, the press had taken the approach that David Letterman was the heir apparent to Johnny Carson,
right?
Because Johnny had said that he preferred David. Well, of course, Johnny was not the president of NBC.
Right.
Johnny had just said he preferred David. But the press had felt that, you know, that job was rightfully David Letterman's, and that Jay Leno had no right to take it and wasn't in the same league as David Letterman. And that's what we were dealing with. There
right.
was a very hostile environment with the television critics, and we felt like we were in the bunkers. And you sort of it was that kind of environment from the very, very beginning, and you sort of form a sort of I don't want to say it's like you know, we are in the bunkers and it's like you're in a battle, in a real war, because it's not like that, but you sort of feel like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, what would the relationship between, because, you know, Dave and Jay were good friends, and Jay Leno appeared on Letterman's show many, many, many times. What was their relationship like during this?
They actually did have a great relationship preceding the late night years when
yeah.
Jay was David's favorite guest. They had come up in the comedy clubs in Los Angeles.
Right.
And so they went way back. And, of course, it was Letterman and Jay and Robin Williams, Arsenio Hall. I mean, there was, the halcyon days of stand-up comedy.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah,
so
absolutely.
Yeah, but that all sort of went out. That went out the window when Jay got the job, because Letterman had felt that he himself had felt that the job was rightfully his.
Yeah.
He felt, and he was very upset, and he never got over it. It was, and honestly, the late night wars was really more about David being upset. We weren't upset. And I don't know why David was upset. He had a great gig at CBS.
Yeah.
But he never, ever, ever, except for the first 2 years, he did very well in the first 2 years. He was number one, but from that point going forward, we were number one. We got the numbers,
yeah,
and it just rubbed David the wrong way. He never got over it, and it doesn't matter. I mean, he had the press on his side. They called him the king of late night, but it doesn't matter. The only thing that counts is the numbers.
Yeah,
and we had the numbers.
Yeah,
after the first 2 years.
And so the late night wars that continued. Where does Conan O'Brien fit into all this?
Well, you had, after about 5 years or so, Conan O'Brien, who, I guess I have to choose my words carefully here.
Yeah.
Who came off as a really likable guy, but he hired an agent that was, you know, basically straight out of hell.
Oh, I see.
Who came and played hardball with, at that time, the president of NBC, a name people may be familiar with, Jeff Zucker.
Yeah.
Now the president of CNN.
Yep.
And basically said, you know, if you don't work out a deal that Conan gets the late night slot, we're walking. Which I always thought was hysterical. Where was he going to walk to?
Yeah.
Where was he going to go?
Yeah.
Right, but at any rate, Jeff Zucker made a deal with him and said, okay, in 5 years, the job is yours. He made the decision before consulting with Jay.
Okay.
And so Jay was essentially fired.
Yeah, and then they gave Jay the primetime slot preceding The Tonight Show for that short period of time when Conan was the host.
They gave, you're absolutely right, they gave Conan The Tonight Show.
Yeah.
And Zucker figured, uh-oh, what did I just do? Because Leno has been number one, right? Over that five-year period,
yeah,
his ratings just kept getting stronger. And Zucker figured out, wait a minute, there's ABC, and ABC wanted Jay in a big way.
They did.
I know they did. Yeah. I had a friend an executive at ABC who gave me a tour of the studio where we would be. They had already built a studio for Jay.
Wow.
Right? And I toured the studio, right? So that was for real.
Oh.
And but Zucker, just out of desperation, decided, okay, all right, let's give Jay Leno the primetime slot. And which was a disaster.
Yeah.
Right? Because yeah. Here we are going up against, you know, these slick shows that are spending $4 million a week like Lost.
Right, right.
Right, and we're doing our show that costs $750,000 a week. And we just couldn't compete with them.
Yeah.
But at the same time, Conan, within the first 2 weeks, we had held the number one slot. I'm a little biased, so cut me a little slack here.
Yeah.
We had held the number one slot for 15 years,
mm-hmm.
and Conan managed all on his own to slip to number two within 2 weeks.
Wow.
After we were off the air.
Wow.
And then we went to the primetime slot, and it was just, we didn't do well, and he didn't do well. It was a disaster.
Yeah. So they had to fix it. So NBC had to fix it, and they put Jay back in.
Right, and Conan got bent out of shape.
Yep.
Conan didn't like the arrangement that we made. The idea was that we would be on the air for a half hour preceding Conan
yeah.
at 11:30 Eastern, 10:30 Central. And then Conan would be on for an hour from, you know, midnight to 1 p.m. But he felt that wasn't good enough, so he turned it down.
Yeah. Wow. It was an interesting time. Okay, Dave, yeah. Hang on, Dave.
Yeah.
All right, Dave Berg is with us, who is the author of Behind the Curtain, was executive producer for 20 years at The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. Many more stories to talk about here, 312-981-7200, and we'll get back to the conversation. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Skyline studio here. Dave Berg is my guest, author and a former executive producer on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. The book is called Behind the Curtain, and tons of great stories about what it was like to work for 20 years on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. And hello, Dave.
Hi.
Hey, thanks for being with us. We appreciate this.
Thank you, Nick. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah. You know, we're talking a little bit about some of the athletes that appeared on The Tonight Show. We got to mention Mark Grace. You know, being from Chicago and being a Cubs fan, Mark Grace was one of my favorite Cubs. What was it like to...
And mine.
Okay. It must have been really nice to have him on the show. Tell me about what it was like to have Mark and what was the story like.
Well, we did a week of shows in Chicago.
Yes.
And which was the highlight of my career, because I was able to book, you know, the Chicago Cubs, you know, all the big names, Harry Carey, the Chicago Bears, the Bulls.
Yeah.
They were all on.
Yeah.
So I was in my heyday. But the highlight of that whole time was to be able to book Mark Grace, who was, you know, my favorite Cub
yeah.
at the time.
Yeah.
But I don't know if I would have been able to get him on. But, we brought him out, and the idea was for him to break the Billy Goat curse.
Right.
So we had, I think, was it Sam Sienis's
yep.
nephew, I'm trying to remember, with the Billy Goat.
Yeah.
And, hey, maybe we did break the curse, because in 2016, it kind of worked out.
Yeah, it did. It did. So was it fun to have Mark on? Was he a good guest?
Yeah, and it was partly because I thought it was fun to see him being in awe of being there with, you know, like Oprah, you know.
Yeah.
and others when I thought, well, wait, you're a big star in your own right.
Yeah. Now, were these episodes, was that at the Chicago Theater?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had a huge, I don't know what that holds, but several thousand.
Yeah. No, that's a big theater. That's a big theater, yeah. Especially for doing a late night talk show.
Yeah.
Wow.
So you spent a week in Chicago at the those must have been fun times for you.
Oh, it was awesome because I, as I said, I was able to get all three teams on.
That's great. That's great. And I bet the crowds were really responsive.
There's nothing better than a good crowd in Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially when you have
their sports heroes on.
Right. Yeah, they'll go nuts. We love our sport. We love our sports, as you know. We love our sports here in Chicago.
Yes.
So, well, that's fun. What about doing other, you know, like not just Chicago? Where else did you travel? Where else did you go on the road to do shows?
New York. We went to Las Vegas a number of times.
And what was that like?
I didn't like Las Vegas because it was just you're in the casino and it's always loud.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, in some respects, it was a lot of fun, but it was just noisy. I don't do well in that environment.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I wish I had a more exciting story.
Yeah. No. But Vegas is. I've never been to Vegas, but because I don't gamble. But from all reports, it's just real bright and real loud.
It just never goes away when you're working there.
Yeah, and it's because they got to keep everybody awake so that they can continue gambling. That's what it is.
Right.
So, now, were there any guests that were banned that were not asked to come back? Were there any sort of like guests that went so poorly that they were either edited from the show or they were banned?
I don't. You know, those are harsh words. We did have a falling out with Howard Stern.
Okay, well, I'm not surprised. Not surprised by that for some reason.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you knew what my answer was going to be, or if you were just throwing that question out.
No, I was just throwing the question out. I didn't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, Howard Stern had been a big supporter of ours, and we had very few supporters.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
Because you know, again, the TV critics felt that late night belonged to David Letterman,
right.
And how dare we take that, and I had already talked about that. But Howard Stern was a supporter of Jay's, and Jay did Howard Stern regularly, and Howard did our show regularly. But Howard always, like, Howard was sort of on a trajectory. You know how if you make a splash by outdoing yourself?
Yeah.
You do something that's outrageous, so the next time you have to do something more outrageous, right?
Yeah, and that's Howard's MO, too.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So he had a new book coming out, and he decided he was going to really, really make a big splash. Now, you have to go back in time to the mid-90s to understand what I'm about to tell you.
Yeah.
What Howard did and didn't tell, I didn't personally work with Howard.
Yeah.
I didn't produce his segments, but what he did was he decided he was going to stage a first in late night television, the first lesbian kiss on network television.
Oh, man, Howard.
Which doesn't mean anything today, I know.
Yeah.
Right? So he sneaked a couple of strippers into his dressing room and hid them in the bathroom.
Oh, God. All right.
Right? So he comes out on stage, you know, they talk a little bit about his book, and he said, Jay, we have a big surprise for you tonight. And let me tell you something about Jay, and this is true of all hosts, he doesn't like surprises.
Yeah, I understand that. I totally understand that.
Right? When you're the host, you're the general of the show, right?
Oh, absolutely. You know, yeah.
You're in charge, right?
Right.
So out come these two, lesbians, quotes, and they do a kiss, and then they sit on his lap, and he spanks one of them, and Jay's sort of looking over at us, what's going on?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he actually walked off the set.
Jay did?
Yeah.
Wow.
Now, he came back, right, and we recorded it. Nobody knew about that.
Yeah.
And the director, to her credit, filmed it in such a way as you didn't see.
Yeah.
You really didn't see the kiss directly, and you didn't see the girls being spanked.
Yeah. Jeez.
But it wasn't good. And we, at that point, our good friendly relationship with Howard Stern broke off.
Yeah, I can imagine. Okay, Dave, hang on, okay?
Yeah.
All right, Dave Berg is with us. Wow, with some amazing stories. I'm not surprised that Howard would pull a stunt like that. He's an author and a former executive producer of The Tonight Show. The book is called Behind the Curtain. More with Dave Berg coming up here on 720 WGN. All right. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. Having a great time talking with Dave Berg. So many great memories and stories. He spent 20 years as executive producer of The Tonight Show, wrote the book Behind the Curtain, and has so many stories about what it was like to work with Jay Leno on that show. Dave, thanks for hanging out with us.
I love doing it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit about some of the other things that happened on the show. Angie Hartman got proposed and got engaged on the show. Talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's that was cool because my favorite medium has always been radio.
Okay.
That's where I started and I always liked it, and because you have a chance to be spontaneous in radio.
Right.
Right, like I don't know any of the questions you're going to ask me.
Right.
Right? But that never happens in television, right? And so spontaneity is really a rare thing.
Right.
And so Angie comes on, and she doesn't know we had worked out with her fiancé, who's Jason Sehorn, who at that time was a big New York Giants football star.
Right.
And he came out. I mean, she came out to do her segment. And I'm trying to remember, again, I didn't expect this question. Jay kept asking her about her boyfriend, what's her relationship, and she's starting to get irritated, right?
Yeah.
Why are you asking me about Jason? I'm not here for Jason. Why are you asking me about him?
Right.
And she's actually getting annoyed.
Yeah.
And Elton John is out there at the same time. And he's teasing her. He's going, "Why don't you want to talk about him? Is he gay?"
Jeez.
Right? It was hysterical. But the problem is, she's starting to get upset. So
right.
About that time, Jason came out and proposed to her, and it was, I mean, the look of surprise in her face.
Mm-hmm.
You can't duplicate that, and it was incredible for me because, as I said, when you're in television, there are very few moments of spontaneity.
Yeah. Well, it was a very memorable moment, I got to tell you.
Yeah. It was a special moment for all of us.
Yeah.
Including Angie.
I would imagine so, yeah.
Yeah, too bad the marriage didn't last.
Right.
But that's another story.
Right. That's right. Well, it is a Hollywood marriage, so, you know. That might happen. Hey, who came up with the dancing Itos? We're going to go back to the 90s again. As everybody knows, Lance Ito was the judge during the O.J. Simpson trial. And then you had the dancing Itos. Well, how did that come to pass?
Yeah, actually, that's a really good question because there's another layer to that question. And that is, at that time, Letterman was number one.
Got it.
And the press is coming down on Jay. He's just milquetoast. He doesn't have the comedic chops of David Letterman. And Jay decides, wait a minute. This O.J. Simpson trial is nothing but a circus, and we should portray it that way.
Yeah.
And that's how I'm going to portray it. And by the way, Jay has a lot of inside information coming from the cops.
Okay.
Right? And he knew from them that O.J. Simpson was guilty as hell. Mm-hmm. So he had no issues with, you know, well, we have to let this play out in the courtroom, right? He portrays this from the beginning that O.J. Simpson is guilty as hell.
Yeah.
And that kind of resonated because most people felt that way. So he decides to portray this as the circus that it is,
yeah,
and it's becoming, and he came up with the dancing Itos.
Wow. That's
pretty cool. This was a bunch of dancers. We had a choreographer. They came out. They dressed like the judge, Judge Ito, who by the way, was the biggest fan of the dancing Itos.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. I just remember that took off. I mean, that was huge, the dancing Itos.
It basically set us on the way to number one. Our ratings just, you know, didn't quite move past to number one, but we were on the way because it showed Jay being edgy, which
yeah.
he didn't have a reputation
right.
for being edgy.
Right.
And this turned it around. But and again, even Judge Ito liked it, and so he actually called Jay and asked him if he would come down and perform for the jurors.
What?
Which he did.
He did?
Yes.
Did not know that.
Yeah.
Did not know that. That's pretty cool. Wow. Yeah, so the Dancing Itos. How long a run did the Dancing Itos have? I mean, you know, the trial.
Well, we milked that.
Yeah.
That had to. I'm doing this off the top of my head. I'm thinking 4 to 6 months.
Yeah, that seems about right.
Dancing, we went from that to the Dancing Rodmans. and all these other dancing, you know, the names, each of the attorneys, the dancing Marcia Clarks,
yeah,
you know.
So it turned into a whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. It was all Jay's idea. That's pretty cool.
That was all Jay.
That's pretty cool. All right. How was Jay with animals? That's always become like a, you know, a late night trope right there is, you know, like bringing out an animal expert and having the animal on the desk and maybe the animal tinkles and, you know, weird stuff happens. Was Jay happy about those segments?
The thing about animals were our secret weapon.
Okay.
Whenever animals came on, the ratings went through the roof.
Yeah.
People loved the animals.
Yeah.
And so our problem was to cut back on the animals because we didn't want to overdo it. But every time animals came on, I'm trying to think of, I didn't expect this question or any of your questions, by the way. They're all good questions.
Thank you.
But I can't remember the name of the Aussie that was the...
Steve Irwin.
Steve Irwin,
yeah.
If you were to say, who was by far your most successful guest, I'm going to tell you was Steve Irwin.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, no, he was. His segments were always great. Now his son's doing it.
Exactly,
yeah,
yes.
Yeah, keeping the...
And we had such a great relationship with Steve that when he died, Jay did an obit in Time magazine for him.
Oh, wow.
And spoke at the funeral.
Wow. Yeah, he was a memorable guest.
They were our secret weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, the animals now, you know, did the animals start with Johnny, you know, and then everybody,
yes.
everybody started doing animal segments then after Johnny took, after it took off on The Tonight Show with Johnny.
It that's right. And he did it with the guy from the Columbus Zoo.
Yeah. Jim Fowler.
Yeah. No, it was another guy. But anyway.
Okay.
It doesn't matter. Those guys were stars in their own right.
Yeah. Yeah, so
because the reason is you never knew what the animals were going to do.
That's exactly what it was. It was you were talking about earlier how difficult it is, Dave, to have spontaneity. Bring out an animal,
exactly,
or bring out a kid. You know what I mean?
Right. Exactly. But the animals were better than the kids.
Oh yeah, I agree. I totally agree.
Because the kids were actors, right?
Right.
And they weren't that spontaneous.
Right. Right, right. But you know, you have no idea what an animal is going to do
and
and the result. And Johnny and Jay both handled it perfectly. They both did.
Right.
That's really, really, and it's a tradition that's on every late night show. I mean,
and it continues to this day.
Yep. No question about it. So all right, Dave, the book is it's out there, it's available. It's called Behind the Curtain, correct?
That's right. And I appreciate it. Yeah, Behind the Curtain, an insider's view of Jay Leno's Tonight Show.
Okay, and it's available right now, and you can be followed on Twitter at Tonight Show Dave. Tonight Show Dave. 20 years as executive producer of The Tonight Show. What a run, Dave. What a run.
I wouldn't trade it for anything.
Yeah. Well, it's been just a real pleasure talking to you. You know, I happen to be a huge, huge fan of late night shows, and obviously the granddaddy of them all is The Tonight Show. So, Dave, thank you so much.
And thank you, Nick.
Okay, take care. That's Dave Berg from Chicago, in fact, which we discovered. He is a Chicagoan. And the book is called Behind the Curtain. He spent 20 years on The Tonight Show with Jay Leno. What great stories. What a lot of fun that was. Okay. We thank Dave. All right. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It's Nick DiGilio on 720 WGN.